In politics, the revolving door refers to people who serve in government and then become lobbyists, or vice versa. In Washington state, the revolving door is well greased. Of the state's nearly 800 registered lobbyists, 1 in 5 of them previously worked in state government or served in elected office. Many were high-ranking officials. Most states, including Oregon, have rules to slow the revolving door with the goal of trying to reduce the chances of a conflict of interest. But not Washington, despite years of efforts to change that. Olympia correspondent Austin Jenkins reports in collaboration with the Seattle Times.
On the evening of March 23rd, Washington Governor Jay Inslee delivered a televised address from his office at the Capitol.
I'd like to speak to you directly tonight about the COVID-19 pandemic.
Inslee called the pandemic a human tragedy and said it was time to hunker down. He then announced his stay home, stay healthy order.
This includes a ban on all gatherings and closures of many businesses, unless those businesses are essential to the healthy functioning of our community.
Inslee's order effectively shut down some 230,000 businesses in Washington deemed non-essential. But even before that order was announced, a lobbyist named Brian Bonlender was contacting the governor's office. "I'm working with the at-sea processors," Bonlender wrote in an email obtained by the Seattle Times. He wanted to know if his clients, who operate factory fishing trawlers, would be considered an essential business exempt from any shutdown. The answer could mean the difference between fishing the high seas or being stuck at port. It's not unusual for lobbyists to contact the governor's office, but Bonlender wasn't just any lobbyist. He had deep ties to Inslee and his staff.
Thank you all for being here. I'm Brian Bonlender, director of the Washington State Department of Commerce.
That's right. Previously, Bonlender had headed a major state agency, making him a member of Inslee's executive cabinet. Now, though, Bonlender was on the other side. His move from high-ranking government official to registered lobbyist was not unusual. Of Washington's roughly 800 lobbyists, nearly 1 in 5 previously worked in state government or served in elected office. That's according to a first-of-its-kind analysis by the Public Radio Northwest News Network and the Seattle Times. Within that group are at least 60 former high-level officials. They include former lawmakers, agency heads, and gubernatorial chiefs of staff. Records show many registered as lobbyists within a few months of leaving public service, and some within days.
I think that's the kind of thing that causes people to think, wait a second.
This is Democratic Attorney General Bob Ferguson. He often talks about what he calls the Friday to Monday problem.
Literally walking out the door on a Friday and going to work lobbying on a Monday, that is problematic.
For the past 5 years, Ferguson has sponsored legislation to require a cooling-off period before someone can become a lobbyist after leaving state service. The restriction would only apply to former elected officials and high-level staff. One of the sponsors of this legislation is Democratic State Representative Mike Pelliciotti. Here he is testifying in favor of the measure back in 2019.
When I tell constituents that the amount of time it takes for an elected official like myself to become a paid lobbyist is the amount of time it would take for me to empty out my office in my car and come back and lobby the person who just replaced me in that office, their jaws hit the ground. And when jaws are hitting the ground, that's a pretty good indication that our laws are not comporting with public expectations.
Jaws may not have dropped, but people did take note last year when former Democratic State Senator Guy Palumbo resigned his position to immediately become a lobbyist for Amazon. Palumbo declined to comment for this story. In an email, an Amazon spokesperson said Palumbo was one of the company's first 800 employees and said bringing him back was a natural fit. But Republican State Representative Morgan Irwin says that situation does raise concerns. Irwin is a co-sponsor of the House revolving door bill. He says most state lawmakers will go on to other things once they leave office.
But we also need to be clear to our voters and constituents that we're not coming down here for the wrong reasons, and that once we leave here, we're not bringing with us some sort of special privilege that wouldn't be afforded to anyone else in society.
Most states and the federal government regulate the revolving door between public service and lobbying. But in Washington, the idea for a 1 or 2 year cooling off period has struggled to gain traction. While there's not been vocal opposition to the legislation, there also hasn't been a groundswell of support, says Democrat Pat Sullivan. He's the majority leader in the Washington House.
I don't know that around this issue we've heard from a lot of people on it. I know that the people who would like to see it passed are pretty passionate about it.
But the passion of a few sponsors has not been enough. Democrat Reuven Carlisle has sponsored the Senate version of the bill for several years. He waxes poetic about its quiet demise year after year.
The slow winter fog of political death seems to find its way toward this bill every single year.
You won't hear it in public testimony, but Carlisle says the idea of restricting the revolving door makes some people uneasy.
And a lot of folks feel like people who serve in public life, in public office or public service, shouldn't be penalized for future employment opportunities.
Carlisle doesn't think a cooling off period is a penalty. Instead, he says it creates a clear break between public service and private advocacy. But former gubernatorial advisor turned lobbyist Matt Stuerwalt has a different view. In an email, Stuerwalt says Washington's existing ethics laws are working and that federal revolving door rules don't appear to have improved trust in government. Once again this year, the revolving door bills never came up for a vote before the Washington legislature adjourned in mid-March. Then the COVID pandemic happened, prompting Inslee to call for shared sacrifice.
We know what it is to overcome challenges, and we know what it is to take a little hardship for gain over the long run.
Meanwhile, behind the scenes, lobbyist Brian Bondlender was contacting his former colleagues in the Inslee administration on behalf of the commercial fishing industry. Bondlender says he was simply trying to make the case for what seemed obvious, that commercial fishing is part of the larger food industry, which is essential. Even so, Inslee's initial stay-home order didn't call out commercial fishing as essential. But about a week later, his office sent out a clarification on what industries and professions were deemed essential. Commercial fishing was on that list. An Inslee spokesperson says it was always considered essential, even if it wasn't specifically called out. I'm Austin Jenkins in Olympia.